Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Dodger Dudes. I am your co-host, Josh Luke. I am here with not just my co-host, Brett Tomko, but another special guest. Brett, tell us who you got there and what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I'm super excited because this is somebody that I've known for a long time that we've talked about on the show before. His name's Kevin Newman, Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop. Kevin grew up basically about, I don't know, half a throw from my front driveway. So Kevin and I go way back since Kevin was in, I think, junior high, I think is the first time we met. You might have been in sixth grade, I think. But Kevin and I have known each other a long time, and it's fun to kind of – it was kind of a last-minute thing. I text Kevin. I said, hey, we're going to do a show about spring training. You know, what are you doing right now? And I figured you were doing nothing because most of America is doing absolutely nothing. So we got Kevin on the show. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited.
So Brett will tell you, Kevin, that I'm a storyteller. So once in a while, I might go for the best story, which might – some people would use the word exaggeration. And in the speaking industry, they tell us just to make the fish bigger. So this might be a little bit embellished, but I think Brett was a little agitated the day he first met you because I think the story I heard this constant pinging that Brett says, and only a baseball player would know what it was, but it was like I kept hearing it day after day. So I finally took a walk down the street. Brett, take the story from there.
You're absolutely right. Irritated was a great word because I kept hearing this ping after ping, after, like every day. And I'm like, who in the heck is hitting, you know, baseballs that much? There's no one in the world that should be taking that much BP. And it was after several days, maybe even weeks, where I'm like, I got to find out where this is coming from. Because you got to understand where we lived, it's kind of like in a – I don't know if it's a valley or there's some mountains. So everything kind of echoes. So I didn't know where it was coming from. So I literally started walking up the hill in the front of my house, and there's, you know, a few houses up there, and I just keep following it. So I walk up and I'm going through the brush on the side of the hill. I might even fell a couple times, you know, going up the hill, and I see this little kid. And I'll say, I say that with all respect, Kevin, because now you're probably bigger than me. But this little kid, soaking wet, couldn't have been more than about 120 pounds, 110 pounds, just taking hack after
grinding.
Hack. Grinding. I mean, grinding. So I'm like, dude, I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? And you're just taking BP. So, you know, we just sat there and chit-chatted for a while, and it became like a thing. And like, who, I never in a million years would have imagined Kevin would have grown up and you know, became a professional baseball player, let alone be a first round pick for the Pirates, which is a whole nother story. When I saw you driving in the parking lot of the high school,
Training,
and you just popped out of a car. You're like, hey, what's up, Brett? Like, in the last I remember, was like, holy crap, what happened to you, Kevin? You became a man. But yeah, but Kevin just was up there taking BP. I mean, you took a lot of BP, didn't you?
I did, for sure. It was like, I remember that, man. I remember knowing that there was a big leaguer that lived kind of next to us and down where you were, and that one day too when you came trucking through that you know, it wasn't an easy walk for you. It was like, I mean, their bushes were probably what, 4 or 5 feet
tall. they were up there. We had them cleared out after that, but no, they were up there. You're probably like, who the hell is this guy coming up here?
No, I'm telling you. So I was like, when someone started, because I'm a little kid, right, and I dream of being a major league baseball player, so like knowing that you lived where you lived, I kind of had like that hope in the back of my mind that one day you would come out and like I'd get to meet you, right? And so like
there he is in the bushes.
You start coming over, and I'm hearing this these footsteps and plowing through all this garbage, and then you pop out, and I'm like, There he is.
It's funny. And Kevin used to come down and knock on the door. Even when I was not home, like knock on the door, and my wife would answer like, hey, is Brett here? Can he come out and play some catch? And it was like so cool. I mean, so cool, like thinking about it now and you getting to do what you do and me being done with the game. It's like come full circle. And I mean, and it's to your credit. I mean, and that's the one thing, like I tell my son, I mean, you and I were texting back and forth last night. Like I built a cage on the side of my house, and I tell the story all the time to Ty, like, hey, Kevin, man, he right up on that hill, he would take BP every day. And that's, you know, that's what it takes. You got to dedicate yourself. And I mean, not only as a little kid, but I mean, you went on to high school, you went on to college, you went to the Cape Cod League, you did whatever you had to do to become a better player. And it's paid off. You've established yourself as a big league, like a legitimate, like big league hitter, and getting it done for Pittsburgh. It's great. It's great to see. I'm so happy for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks, Brett.
So I took two things from that story. Number one, if you're a dad or a coach and you got a little kid and you know where a big leaguer lives, you're free to knock on his door and ask send your kid up there. Your kid's way cuter than you, I'm sure, dads out there. Okay. And I also want to tell you, Kevin, about when your name came up last year. One of the themes of our show is that Brett's brother Scott is in my fantasy baseball league, and we've been in that league since high school, and Scott dominates it. And I'm one of the two or three guys that usually tries to challenge him every two or three years. And so last year I was actually ahead of him to like the last 2 weeks, and I picked this young rookie from Pittsburgh up named Kevin Newman. And I said, Brett, I picked this guy up and he's doing really well. He's on like a 20-20 pace. So before we get to the major league
baseball, and listen to this, like, Kevin, I didn't know you had those wheels. You stole 28 bags last year.
Yeah, we're getting to that right now.
Sorry.
28? Yeah. I'm not 28.
Yeah, I think it's 18 or
something. No. I saw walks. You walked 28 walks. Yeah. But still, I didn't know you had those wheels.
I don't think so.
You're like, oh, man, 16. I'll take it. I'll take 16.
Yeah, I will. I'll take that.
We're going to ask your opinion on the Major League Baseball proposal to play in Arizona. We're going to go deep into that for 20 or 30 minutes. But beforehand, for all of our fantasy baseball listeners, I mean, these guys are avid. So I want to first let you know that you were drafted by the Sweaty Balls in my league. Okay, that's Brian Torkelson and Larry Torkelson.
This is the information you always wanted to know.
You wanted to know.
It is.
The relevant information that I was looking for, because they took you about three picks before I was going to take you, because I thought you were still a well-kept secret. But no, the cat's out of the bag. These are really important questions. Are you, in fact, the leadoff hitter for the Pittsburgh Pirates this year? That's a really important question for fantasy baseball owners.
I'll bet it is. And honestly, I don't know. So we don't
I'm going to keep asking you these tough questions. You can keep
We didn't get there during spring training. I mean, I was hitting leadoff, obviously, the end of spring training. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure as Brett can attest to, when the season comes, until that opening day lineup pops out, you don't know. No.
Okay, question number two. Do you have the green light to steal at any point in time?
these are good fantasy questions, huh? Well, so I hate to not answer your question, but this year we got a whole new staff. So yeah. I wasn't green light in spring training. It was kind of wait and pick your time, stuff like that. So I mean there's a lot of new pieces this year for us, so I don't know how during the year that's going to unfold, but I can tell you last year I didn't have the green light, so for what it's worth.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
18 bags?
Hey, yeah, 18 or 16 or 18. But yeah, hey, one thing he's always going to do is hit. Kevin, you've been like that since high school, college. Fun fact, Cape Cod League. I mean, I'm probably the only one that knows this stat, but you're the only person to ever lead the Cape Cod League in hitting 2 years in a row.
Wow.
Which is a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you play? What teams you play for? My brother played for Hyannis.
Okay. I played for Falmouth Commodores.
I was never good enough to play any summer league, so that's where I rank up there.
I'll save it, Brett.
I never got asked to play in one summer league or one winter league my entire career.
But Kevin, last question on fantasy baseball. Then I want to look at some of your stat line from last year, because it looks hitting .308 as a rookie. I mean, that's amazing in 500 at bats. But did you ever play fantasy baseball? You seem to be keen on the questions I was asking growing up.
No, I haven't. I never played fantasy baseball. I remember. My best friend's dad is in a fantasy group or league, and he drafted me 1 year just like before.
When you were an A-ball?
Yeah, it was like the last pick of the entire draft. Just like, I don't even know how it works, but you know, it's just for fun, really. There was no point in even having me. But no, that's not something I've ever really gotten into. This last year was my first year actually of fantasy football, and so that was fun. But yeah, I haven't done the fantasy baseball before.
Cool stuff.
Fantasy baseball is hard to do. Scott and Josh have done that. Gosh, since gosh, probably since you guys were just out of high school, and you have to keep up with it every day.
Yeah,
I would get questions all the time, and Josh would text me and Scott would text me. I'm like, dude, this was when I was playing. It was like, hey, what's going on? How's so-and-so feeling? Yeah. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Yeah. I'm in the training room. Guy, last thing I want to hear, I'm about to go face like Barry Bonds, and you're worried about like, is our shortstop okay?
Oh, man, that's so... So true. I remember back in the day, and that's actually why I think Scott and I had an advantage when we, you know, 15 years ago when our brothers were coming up through the minors, we knew every guy that was, you know, as Brett and Matt would describe, look, this guy's going to get 100 chances to prove himself, and he's proven himself. So, hey, tell me about your rookie year, 2018, 31 games, 91 at bats. What was it like? And you hit 209. That's, you know, there's no shame in that as a rookie. Did you come up in September, come up before that? How'd that go?
So I came up halfway through August, and then I was there for all of September as well. So yeah, it was about a month and a half stint at the end of 18.
So they're changing the September call-up rule this year, and of course, with the pandemic, who knows what they're going to do now? They're probably actually going to expand the rosters as soon as you start back. Okay. What are your thoughts on, in a normal season, the reduction of the September call-up? Because that's something that, as long as Brett and I were in high school until last year, was just normal. That's when the kids came up and got their shot.
Yeah, I think especially because I'm so fresh off of that time and young, being a young guy coming up late in the year, it's definitely going to be interesting because you're right. That is when a lot of guys, you know, get that first chance. And, you know, if your team's not in it, then a guy, you know, he gets the chance to play maybe every day. Who wouldn't if you're, you know, if you're in a race? But that month was crucial. That month and a half was really big for me because it definitely took some time getting used to, as the stats can show. You know, I got up there and, you know, the third deck in every stadium and the big crowds and the names that you face, it definitely, it's definitely kind of a shell shock. And so it definitely took some getting used to, and being able to get that out of my way in 18 kind of paved the way for 19.
Yeah, because I mean, that's a great point, because I got called up like a month and a half into the season, and you don't have that buffer. You go right into it and it's like you're full force right away. You know, Kevin got to get there and get some at bats, and then when he goes into spring training, he's already established. He's already got that confidence of, hey, I was there, I did it, I faced these guys. Let me get into spring training, let me get in my rhythm. And let me show what I can do. So that way, when the season starts, it's game on. You're not in that, like, you're still a little nervous and you're still trying to like show the people like, hey, this is what's going on. But you've had that 4 weeks and those crucial at bats to kind of get your feet wet and shake those nerves off. Like, I got thrown into it and I was like, I couldn't get more nervous, because here I am. Like, I don't get that little buffer. If I don't produce, I get sent back down and I'm stuck in AAA the whole rest of the year. So it makes a big difference for guys.
Yeah, huge difference. And you said it well. I mean, for me, like by the end of that, you know, that 6 weeks that I was up there for, I started to get to the point where, you know, okay, like all those other, you know, extra factors kind of went away, and it was getting back to the, all right, this is baseball still. Like, you know, a 90 mile an hour fastball is still a 90 mile an hour fastball. It doesn't just look 150 miles an hour because it's my first day in the big leagues.
Right. And we had texts quite a bit back and forth when you were in AAA, because I kept saying, like, dude, why aren't they calling you up? Like, and I have to imagine it was frustrating for you, because you were producing down AA, AAA. You were doing everything you need to, but you weren't getting that call. So I know it was frustrating. We were texting back and forth, but you did it the right way. You put your head down. You said, you know what, I'm going to take care of my business, and when my time is there, I'm gonna capitalize on it. And that's exactly what you did.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I've always been too. It's just I try not to get caught up in the things that I really can't control. And that was one of them. I know when we were texting back and forth, and you just kind of said it, but you know, I didn't want to let my mind get away from me and just kind of think of, oh, well, what could be if I got the call today? You know, I feel like, or tomorrow, I feel like that was just gonna drag out the days, make them feel really, really long, and maybe start some resentment, honestly, and not being able to focus on getting better and preparing myself to play at the big league level. So I tried to focus and just, you know, really, really try to really just get better every day.
Let me ask you about two things, two moments that I remember that I think are pretty cool. two that come to mind is your first major league home run and what was around that. You know, I see your dad at McDonald's every once in a while for breakfast. We happen to still live in the same area, and we talk about it, but your dad got to be there. Tell me a little bit about that.
So it was sick, man. It was dad's weekend. So the Pirates do a thing where all the dads fly out to Pittsburgh, and they come on like the flight with us on a trip. So it was a Cincinnati trip. So they're hanging out in the locker room and kind of going through BP and everything that we kind of go through, really, like, you know, staying at the team hotel, all that sort of stuff. So it was a really cool time in itself, just cause, you know, I get to experience that with my dad. And then, yeah, sure enough, that game didn't exactly go as planned, but I think I got up and I think it was the ninth inning and the bases were loaded. Obviously all the dads are there and, you know, I got a good heater up and hit a grand slam for my first home run in front of my dad. And, you know, that's just a really cool moment that, you know, he and I will share forever. And yeah, I couldn't really draw it up any better than that.
I saw it on ESPN and they after you hit it, they immediately showed a clip of your dad in the stands going crazy. It was so cool to see, just knowing just with the history of us. And the other thing is your first walk-off. Tell me a little bit about that. Cause I've seen some stuff you posted on your Instagram and it's really cool videos of that.
Yeah. I mean, walk-offs are the coolest feeling ever.
Not if you're a pitcher.
Not if you're a pitcher, but no, it's so cool, you know, to be able to come through for your teammates and your city. Cause obviously you're at home, you know, just to kind of be that guy that, you know, got it done that night. You know, every game takes a multitude of players all contributing to win, obviously. And when you just kind of have that moment, it's a unique feeling and it's just, there's just no better feeling.
When you cross home plate, I believe somebody threw like a whole cooler of, it was Gatorade or water on you. It almost looked like it knocked you over. That had to shock you a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was, it kind of like blinded me. So I was like, I'm coming in and yeah, I didn't expect that to come so hard, like right in my eyes. But yeah, when I got to home plate, you can kind of, if you watch the video, you kind of see me like step like twice. Cause I'm like, I don't know where the plate is. And I'm just like, all right, well, hopefully I don't miss the plate. get a peel and called out or something. So, but yeah, they got me good with the Gatorade.
Yeah. That's not a moment. I think as a pitcher, unless you throw like a no hitter or a perfect game, you don't get that type of like celebration where it's just all about you. It's one of those things that I think as a player, I'm like, gosh, I wish I was just a hitter for like one day to experience that. Cause that looks fun.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment. That was Steve Blass's last, televised game as well, who's been with the Pirates for forever. And he's such an awesome guy. And so it kind of just all the stars aligned on that one. And it's an honor to be, really just a part of that exit for him. That was great.
Hey, super excited about a new sponsor for our show. Style is changing. Formal wear is out and t-shirts are in. True Classic t-shirts are my favorite. It's based in LA and it's a t-shirt company that's on the rise. These t-shirts are soft. They hold up in the wash and they are incredibly versatile. You can wear them out. You can wear them to work or even around the house, which we are all doing right now, hanging out at the house. And the best part is they're incredibly cheap, only $15. That's right, $15. And now you can get them for even less. Go to trueclassictees.com and use the code at checkout, BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for 20% off. That's BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, at trueclassictees.com.
Hey folks, we're listening. We're speaking with Kevin Newman, the shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates, number 27. You heard Brett mention that he is on Instagram. You can follow him at Kevin Newman 27. It's N-E-W-M-A-N 27. And Kevin, let's, before we move on to the big topic this week, which is because of the pandemic, every Major League Baseball is talking about opening in Arizona, and not just opening, but the original proposal is 4 months of baseball double headers in Arizona, not just at spring training facilities, but also at the Arizona Diamondbacks home field. Before we ask Kevin about that, Brett, can you just run through on your little stat sheet there some of the things that the proposal talked about, seven inning double headers, all that business?
Yeah, so there's like 4 main points that I read this morning. Implementing an electronic strike zone to allow the plate umpire to maintain sufficient distance from the catcher and the batter. No mound visits from a catcher or a pitching coach. 7-inning doubleheaders, which is an earlier than expected start date, which could allow maybe a whole full 162-game season. Regular use of on-field microphone by players for added bonus for TV viewers, which is, well, I'd like to get your take on that one. And then this is the one that I think is the funniest. Excuse me. The players having to sit in empty stands 6 feet apart by the recommendation of social distancing space instead of the dugout. I can't even imagine sitting in the stands with my whole team like spread out like above the first base dugout.
Well, I mean, on top of that, I mean, first of all, I don't have spring training out here, so I really haven't been to many of the facilities. I know they're really nice, but I mean, it's about to get really hot here too. I mean, if I'm sitting in the stands 6 feet away, I'm just baking, absolutely cooked.
I didn't even think about that.
That doesn't sound good.
And I talked to Dave Roberts a couple nights ago. We FaceTime each other, and I asked him about like, hey, what's going on? What are you guys going to do? And he was same thing. He's like, you know, they're talking about doing it in Arizona because it's going to be 110, 115. So, you know, hopefully the virus can't thrive in that type of heat, which is going to help the situation. But I didn't even think about like the players sitting in the stands, like even sitting in a dugout with fans would be miserable. So, you know, they used to like extend the springs. They would play the games at like 8 a.m. just so it was a little bit cooler, but you're not gonna do that to a bunch of big leaguers because everybody knows the big league schedule is like late games, late nights, sleeping in a little bit. So yeah, I can't imagine that. That would be crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a few of those things are definitely interesting. I mean, the automatic strike zone, I don't know how realistic that is. I mean,
they used it in the independent league, Atlantic League last year, so it has to be legit, right?
I played in York. Yeah. Shout out to York, the York Revolution. I played in the independent league. I wouldn't have liked the electro. I think human error is part of the game, so I'm against electronic strike zones in general.
Yeah, but and I mean, if you're gonna have a runner at first and a first baseman that are gonna be within a foot of each other, I mean, really, what's the issue with having an umpire behind a catcher? I guess is where, you know, I don't see why we wouldn't just, you know, we're all going to be sharing the ball and we're all going to be doing that.
That's the thing. Cause when we shut down Little League here, which you're a Poway National Little League guy, that's where my son's in, you know,
represent.
And, yeah. Represent Poway National. That's the thing that there were some coaches like, let's just keep playing. Even though the school's shutting down, I said, yeah, but these kids are like touching the same ball. Like there's a lot of things that go on with the germs. And I saw a picture of, I think it was South Korea or Korea, they were playing spring training games because they're about 5 or 6 weeks ahead of us. Yeah, and Josh has a hospital background and knows a lot about what's going on. And the curve flattening a little bit, hopefully a little bit earlier than we're expecting with the reports the last couple of days. But they're playing and there's pictures of guys with masks on first base. So there's a picture of a guy that on first base with the first baseman with the umpire, and they all three have masks on. Could you imagine going out there and playing with a full mask on?
I couldn't. I mean, I get where it comes from because, you know, a lot of guys are licking their fingers and trying to get, you know, that, a little bit of
Brett,
grip.
Never did which, that, by the way.
No, I never licked my fingers. I always wiped.
Ever. Well, I'm a guy that licks my fingers. So between almost every pitch at short, just to get the kind of the feeling on the tip of my fingers for if I get a ground ball and I had to throw it. But when this whole thing started, I had to stop that because, you know, our last probably 3 or 4 games at spring training, we had heard about it. And then our last game of spring training, they had already announced that they were completely shutting down spring training. Like it was done. And we were about to go out on the field and play, I guess, because we were, I don't know, fans were already there. We were 20 minutes from first pitch. So we went out and played, and I had to like consciously like, you know, sit there and not lick my fingers. And that's a tough habit to break when you do it, you know,
it's a tough habit to break right now. I mean, that's the big thing is don't touch your face. I find myself wanting to, I heard something like you touch your face 40 to 50 times an hour. Like I'll go to itch something. I'll take the sleeve. Yeah. I'll take my sleeve and kind of rub my,
I'll use
like,
my glasses.
Yeah. It's become like a fact of life that's what it is. And it changes everything. You know, how disappointing for you, I know as a former player, what I would feel, but I'm not in it. You're in the trenches right now. How disappointed to be that close to the season. And, you know, and it's a bigger scale. This is a global thing and there's more important things. But if you take that out just as a baseball player and what's in your gut and your fire, and I know what kind of character you are, how hard is it not to be playing right now?
Yeah. Well, first off, you said it really well. It is about perspective and a lot of people are affected by this. And so if I can focus on this, like you said, not knowing that a lot of other people are in a tough place, but from the baseball side, yeah, it's definitely disappointing. You know, we're 10 days away from kicking off, and I'll speak on behalf of the Pirates and the environment I was in. You know, we had an entire new staff. We had new coaches. We had, you know, new front office, just an entire new flow and vibe to us. And we were just really, really excited to get that going and go into a season and see how it unfolded. So, you know, we were bummed. We were really bummed. And, you know, at first couple of weeks we were like, okay, you know, this will be a little bit, and then it's going to kick back in. It's going to kick back in. And, you know, now we are where we are, and we know the severity of it. And it's been tough. It's been disappointing. And, you know, when we know it's not just us that are disappointed. You know, we want to go out and play for the fans. We want to go out and play for the cities right now that are going through these tough times. And, you know, to be a team that the fans can rally around, to be, you know, just almost, for lack of a better term, just a source of entertainment, a source of unity for everybody right now going through something tough. So
that's a great point. You know, I was playing when 9/11 happened, and I was with the Mariners, and, you know, we got shut down for the time that we got shut down. And the big thing was, when was baseball going to start up again? And, you know, there was a lot of debate whether it was too soon or, you know, they should wait longer. And we started, and it's one of the moments that I'll never forget as a baseball player. We played the game. You know, it was eerie because of the magnitude of what was going on, but, you know, the win or lose wasn't a big thing that day. It was getting back on the field and entertaining America. And that was a big thing. And I was happy to be part of that you were bringing joy to a country or a city that had just gone through something catastrophic. And I can remember after the game, we ran around the field with a massive American flag, and you know, nobody left the stadium. We were on the pitcher's mound with the flag, all tipping our cap to the stands. And it was a moment that, you know, I felt like, you know, what we get to do happened so fast. And you know, your career, my career, it's a snapshot of what happens. And to be part of something for a second that brings, you know, joy and hope and you know, just an escape from what's going on, is a really cool thing. And it's a really cool thing that you're going to get to do once this all gets started back up, because, you know, people in Pittsburgh, you know, there's tragedy, people lost lives, you know, and for them to come out to a game and to be able to get away from it and come up to you and get an autograph or however autographing is going to be, that's going to be a whole different thing too now. But you know, it's a cool thing, and it's a cool thing that I'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
Hey, you know what? We've all been hanging out at home, not doing a whole lot, doing a lot of stuff around the house, cleaning. You know what? There's some other fun stuff you can do. You know what you can still do? You can still bet online. You know where you go? You go to betonline.ag. With no NBA, NHL, or MLB, which, who knows, maybe MLB will be starting up soon. You might think there's nothing else to bet on, but Bet Online still has hundreds of places to wager, including their online casino with poker and blackjack. And sports aren't completely done. There's still some other stuff you could bet on. Mixed martial arts, American Idol. That's right, you can bet on American Idol. The elections, the spelling bee, and their $750,000 poker series. There is still some fun to be had on betonline.ag, and use their promo code MYPOD100 to receive your welcome bonus on your first episode. That's right, you get an extra little bonus. Again, that's betonline.ag, BETONLINE.AG, and use the promo code MYPOD100, MYPOD100. Bet online, the fun never ends. Let me ask you this too. What are you able to do right now? We've seen some stuff posted on Instagram. Joey Gallo taking hacks like on his high rise with a big net, like in his living room. Like,
look at my pad.
He's got a good view.
Yeah, I've been to your place. I came over there for dinner when I was at a fantasy camp. So I can't imagine you guys moving all the furniture for you to take. I mean, I can imagine what you would do to get your hacks in. So I'm not sure exactly what your wife would let you do. So why don't you explain what you're able to accomplish and how you're able to stay like kind of locked in? Cause it's going to take you a while to like when this whole, you know, air quote spring training starts to get back into it. So how long is it going to take you, and what have you been doing?
Yeah. So, so we're trying to do everything we can, follow like the CDC and the rec, they're saying no more than 10 people together. So in our community, we've got a couple of the players, and what we do is we have our trainers from the off season, that we normally work with out here, basically are coming to our complex and training us here with a lot of just body weight stuff, and a couple of weights. And so there's a, on any given day, probably 4 to 6 of us, you know, that get that workout in. And the toughest part about it is that, you know, other than yesterday, all the stuff coming out that came out about playing in Arizona and stuff, prior to that, we really had no idea. We still really have no idea, as to when we're trying to start back up. So, you know, do we work out 5 times a week? Do we work out twice a week? We don't know. Do we throw every single day? Because now all of a sudden this is saying, you know, maybe.
Because if you got to gear up and you're starting to take balls at shortstop, like for games, like there's an arm strength component and a buildup that takes that. If you know a date we're starting, like spring training, you know exactly how much to push it.
Yeah, exactly. So not knowing that kind of creates this entire, you know, question mark as to really how to train. Are we off season training right now? Are we lifting? Are we really lifting serious weight? Because, you know, we might not play for 4 months. Well, now all of a sudden that came out, the articles came out yesterday, and maybe we're going to play in a month. You know, we don't know. So, just working out, you know, 3 times a week is what I'm personally doing. And kind of taking the information day by day.
Let me ask that question a little differently, because I think it's, you know, it's kind of a shrug your shoulders answer, like how many games do you need? I mean, nobody knows, but so let me ask it this way. How many games would be the bare minimum to the point that you would almost be like, Skip, I'm uncomfortable only playing 6 spring training games before we start, even though everybody else is only playing 6 too. Is it 10? Is it 5? Is it 20? Like, how many games do you just feel like, hey, I just need to be out there for a few innings? I'm sure you haven't thought about it, but at what point would you start to go, man, that's a little weird?
From a bare minimum standpoint, I mean, I'd say 7.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. I mean, if 5 to 7, you know, we get 5 games of full at bats, you know, yeah, we could go out and we could play 9 game. We're not going to be midseason form. We're not going to be where, you know, we'd probably ideally like to be, but for the sake of getting out there, going and competing and just playing the game, like, yeah, we could get it done.
One of the things I'm looking forward to, Brett and I talked about this, because one of the things that's cool about our show is I bring a hardcore fan perspective, always wanted to play, but didn't quite have the ability, not quite have the ability. I wasn't even close to having the ability, but, and Brett, I always ask a lot of, hey, put me on the mound questions. I'm actually really looking forward to, and this kind of gets back to the fantasy thing, the strategy changes. And of course I watch every Dodger game. So Doc's the king of playing chess every pitch after the 4th or 5th inning. I'm really looking forward to the 7 inning strategies. When do you bring in your, I even said to Brett, do you think they're going to give pitchers wins after 4 innings in a 7 inning game? And he's like, who cares, man? Let's go on pitch 5. But I'm looking forward to the strategy changes, but tell us about the on-field microphone. Brett mentioned that earlier. I mean, what are your thoughts if they came to you and said, hey, can you wear these? And would you do it every day? Would you say, hey, about every 3rd game? What are your thoughts?
You know, they came to me in spring training and asked if I would wear one in a spring training game, and I politely declined. It's just a personal preference. And for me, you know, having said no in spring training, I certainly wouldn't do it in a game that meant something. And it's more so just because there's a level of focus, you know, personally for me, I'm not the most, God gifted player on the field. As Brett has said, like I've worked really hard my entire life. You know, I've taken a million swings. I've taken a million ground balls, and I've worked pretty hard to get where I'm at. And a lot of that is because of my focus and my attention to detail and my competitiveness and how I lock in. For me to have a headphone on and to be conversing with a play-by-play analyst or whoever it may be, I don't think I could compete at the major league level. Now, that's not to say everybody can't, because, you know, people were doing it in spring training. And
that's fair, though.
Yeah, no, yeah. And that's exactly there. I'll say it a little bit less political than Kevin. There's a lot of guys that like that, like, sure, like that spotlight in terms of like, they like the show and they're into that. You know, and Nick Swisher is a good friend of mine. Nick Swisher, you throw a microphone on him, he would be in hog's heaven the whole game. And I mean, it would be like mid pitch and he would be rapping with the play by play, but that's just him. And there's some guys that they're a little bit more flashy. And Kevin, Kevin's focused. Kevin's put the nose down to the grindstone. Let's get after it. And good or bad, whether you're flashy or you're just hardcore, let's get after it. It's what you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable with it, that's great. If you're not, there's going to be guys lined up that said, yeah, give me the microphone, I'm good with it. And there's going to be guys that are like, I don't even want to bother with that. I want to worry about, you know, getting my knocks and making my plays. And that's great. And for to each their own, really.
So Kevin,
yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and who knows, maybe one day I'll get there, but from where I'm at now, you know, and when I'm playing, you know, I talk to base runners and you know, I mess around with players on other teams and have fun out there and stuff, but there's definitely a different element in, you know, having a mic on you and kind of getting interviewed on the field while you're playing and competing in games that matter too.
Well, and also there's a respect factor being a young guy too, I would imagine. Hey, I'm looking over your shoulder, seeing that you're our resident expert on the state of Arizona as well, having played at the U of A. Do they still have some complexes down there? I think it's been a good 10 years since there was spring training facility or teams. I think the Rockies built a facility and then within 5 years said, this is too far to drive. Are there still a couple complexes? And Brett, did you read anything about Tucson being in play here too?
No, I didn't read anything about I think there's enough. They're talking about 10 different complexes in the. I think it's logistically because they want everything so close.
True.
They're talking about like 10 different complexes in around Phoenix, Scottsdale area, just so it's easier. Because they're talking about isolating, and this would be interesting, Kevin. What do you think about? They're talking about isolating from your families for like four. So you guys go to the hotel and you guys are locked at. You cannot leave the hotel, and all you can do is get on the bus, go to the field, play the games, go back home. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about not having, unless your wife's going to stay in the hotel room the entire time too? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. And I didn't know about that until this morning, actually. And my wife brought it up to me, and I don't know, we have a place here. So, I mean, hopefully we would be able to live at our home. I don't see how
I think they want you on the bus. So they know exactly, because Dave talked about that. He said, you know, there's, this was a couple of days ago before this came out. He was talking about, they can't regulate, you know, if his wife or kids go talk to somebody that's, you know, contagious, and then they go back to the hotel room. So this was new that I read this morning too, that, you know, no, the players would be like isolated in the hotel room away from everyone.
So for the entire season, we wouldn't be able to see our families.
That's what it read to me.
Huh. I mean, that's a hard sell. Yeah. You know,
and you got to get all the players union and the players on board. If the players aren't on board, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely will be. And that's, you know, and if that is what ends up being the deal breaker, whichever way it swings, I mean, we'll see down the road, but that's a significant change, you know, not being able to see your family.
You wouldn't get any home cooked meals. That would be
none.
Tough,
yeah,
for you.
I mean, I'll tell you what, Domino's would be killing it.
I think Domino's is killing it right now. We've been hitting a lot of takeout Domino's.
There
we're
you
getting
go.
Tired. We're getting tired of cooking at home.
That cheesy bread, man. Gotta stay away from it.
So hey, when you were going to school down there, did they still have a couple of complexes? And like I said, I think the Rockies built
the Rockies in Arizona were down there.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Rockies built High Corbett, and that is where U of A plays now. So my first year in 2013 was the second year that they played at High Corbett. Okay. So that's where I played all my home college games.
Good complex, still in good enough shape if they wanted to play there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really they did U of A did a great job in giving it a facelift, put a bunch of money into it. And it's a really, really nice facility now. So it would definitely be cool. Capable of hosting.
Well, I want to change the subject a little bit here to something. I'm going to pick, I can do this because I'm not a former player. I'm not part of the code, but I'm going to pick a bone with, I think it's the sports writers. I'm looking at the National League Rookie of the Year voting last year, and I want to know what this dude, your teammate, Brian Reynolds, what did he do for the sports writers that you didn't? Because your numbers are right there with them, and he came in fourth place. What's up with that, man? Hey, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's a better player, you or Brian Reynolds? Numbers are almost identical, man.
We got tough questions on this podcast.
Yeah, right. He had a hell of a year, man. And
but
you can see the numbers, and
They're literally identical. He hit 16 home runs. You hit what? 14?
12.
Okay, but you stole more bases. You're within a couple RBI. Hey, we got to get Brian Reynolds on the show now next time, Brett. We got to ask him what's up.
There you go.
I'm going to advocate to all the sports writers in Pittsburgh and everywhere else. Shout out to Kevin Newman, 27. Follow him on Instagram so you can see all those highlights and give him his respect that's due next year, because he needs to be on this list too.
Well, I appreciate it.
No, you carried my fantasy team in a big time of need, man. So I'm never going to forget that. I'm a little bitter that my buddy drafted you before I did. So hey, talk about in the locker room what it's like to be. Let me ask you this: my brother was drafted by the Yankees, and my perception has always been there's the Yankees and Boston coming up with them, and then do you feel fortunate that you were drafted by a smaller market team? Do you feel like, because as Brett said, you should have been up before you were, you still got to grind, you still got to put up numbers, but do you feel blessed that you came up in an organization like Pittsburgh that's perceived to be small market?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm definitely glad. I'm definitely happy to have been drafted by the Pirates, for sure. And you know, it's one of those things where, when I was coming up through the system, I would hear a lot of external noise about, you know, people saying, oh, you should be up, or, oh, you should have been called up to double A faster than you were, or whatever it might be. But honestly, you know, I think a couple of things. I think if you're good enough, you're going to get there. And I think that there is a part of this game where, you know, right spot, right time. And I wasn't going to let the fact that some people maybe didn't think I wasn't in the right spot at the right time affect, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, but affect how I went about my day and how I went about my work. It was just always a bunch of noise that I didn't want to listen to, because I just thought it was distracting.
Yeah, Kevin and I have the same approach. I got drafted by Cincinnati. I came up through them, and same thing. We were, you know, considered small market. And we, if I would have been drafted by the Braves or the Yankees, it would have been a different path. It might've taken me longer. I feel like I would have got there eventually, or, you know, got traded to somebody to get up to the big leagues. But, you know, there's some self-discipline when you're in the minor leagues, because there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of guys that are in the minor leagues. And I don't mean this to be mean, but there's a lot of guys down there that will never make the big leagues. They're organizational players. And it's hard to keep your focus sometimes. And I used to say, hey, just put your blinders on, do your work, you know, calculated fun, go out, have a drink, have a beer with the boys, but realize what's going to happen the next day, or if you have a day off. So, you know, you really got to put your nose down and just realize I got to do my job. I was fortunate in Cincinnati. A couple guys got hurt. I was, you know, one of the pitching prospects, and I got called up, but it would have been a different ball game. I think if I would have been in the Braves organizations, you got Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz. I was happy to be in an organization that wasn't like super heavy in the big leagues.
Yeah. And that's a good way to put it is having your blinders on. Cause they're, you know, for the most part, I think if you're good enough, you're going to make it. There are definitely players that I think could have had good major league careers, definitely deserve to be a major league player and could have had careers. And they didn't get that opportunity for one reason or another. You know, that's obviously out of my hands, but no, those players exist for sure.
Tell me who you grew up idolizing. Were you always a shortstop?
Yeah, you don't have to say me, Kevin. You don't.
All right, okay. Aside from Brett.
The guy in the bushes.
Yeah. No, Derek Jeter was the guy that I really looked up to growing up. You know, I always tried to get the number two in Little League or whatever team I was on. Kind of because when I was growing up, all I would see on ESPN, you know, were Yankees Boston games, and it's, you know, because every one of those is on ESPN. So you know, I always had that on and always got to see him play, and because of that, and just, I mean, I don't need to go into his success and who he is as a person, because you guys already know, but just seeing that was just a player that I wanted to be like on and off the field.
So check this out.
That's funny you said that. Hold on. That's funny you say that, because now that you said it, I mean, that makes a lot of sense with the type of, you know, game that you have. I mean, solid at shortstop, fundamentally correct.
Yeah,
hitting, too. Staying inside the ball. Like, that's how you've always been. And it now that you say it, it makes a lot of sense that Jeter was the guy that you're kind of, you know, looking at and idolizing in that point, because your games are very similar.
I see a lot of that too. And I saw that last year. It was fun watching. My brother was roommates with Jeet in the minors. They were drafted the same year. And I started to grab this. I took it out of the case here. I don't know if you can see it. This is the only hat he wore in AA because he was only there for 2 weeks. Him and my brother got called up together, went to Albany, and 2 weeks later, he just went straight to AAA. But what I wanted to bring up, and Brett, because I think it's something Brett can share. Do you remember we had my brother on as a guest once, and we asked him a question I never asked him and never heard him answer, and it was an awesome answer. And I asked him, I said, give us a Derek Jeter nugget that Derek shared with you that you never forgot. And he said, look, he told me this early on, and Derek was an early draft pick and always kind of destined to be great. Do you remember what he said, Brett? Because I just thought it was awesome.
I'm trying to remember.
It was advice from his dad. His dad said, look, you know, face a number 3, 4, 5 pitcher. You got to get your hits off of those guys, because when you face the 1-2 the next couple days, it's a grind. And I just thought that was amazing insight from a 19-year-old at the time.
Yeah, he got a few hits off of me, so I must have been that 3, 4, 5 pitcher. So
you're talking about Derek, not my brother.
No, I'm talking about Derek. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool input from Jeter and from his dad too.
It is.
Hey, tell me. So I've been to almost every stadium. There's 4 of them I haven't been to: Toronto, Tampa, Dallas, and Cincy. And I haven't been to Dallas and Cincy because they rebuilt them since I was there. So I've been to all but 2. But I got to tell you, Pittsburgh's one of my top 2 or 3 stadiums. I think a lot of people who haven't been to Pittsburgh wouldn't know what a beautiful, beautiful city is right there on the water. I love that it's open. I'm not asking you to say, tell me how great that stadium is, but tell me about playing in Pittsburgh and also what one of your other favorite stadiums to play in is.
You hit it on the head. Pittsburgh is, in my opinion, and I guess I'm a little bit biased, but one of the most beautiful stadiums there are. Just because of the backdrop with the city, like you said, on the water. It's gorgeous, man. It really is. One of the other stadiums that I really, really enjoyed playing in was Houston. I actually thought
We don't talk about Houston on this show.
Yeah,
so.
I thought it might strike a chord, but, you know.
That's a whole nother subject with Josh. Josh being the Dodger fan. I mean, if you listen to our last, 10 podcasts of the season, it was just like Josh just steaming and stewing over.
But this
is
before the controversy broke, Brett.
You and I have talked a little bit about this, Kevin, at your house, but the
I knew that this was exactly where.
By the way, Houston's a great, Houston is a nice stadium. Like I said, I'll say about Houston. Okay, it's a nice stadium.
What do you think about all that? And you can be as political or not political as you want, but the fact that they were doing that, does that tarnish what you think happens with the World Series and the legacy of those guys a little bit?
I think time will tell. I think it's easy to say right now that it does, but those guys, like they're all pretty young. They got a long time on their contracts, long time to play, and I think that they'll show. You know, and if they keep playing the way that they played before that, you know, then maybe it didn't affect as much as everybody thinks. But you know, if it's a huge change, then there might be some.
And they're all superstars in their own right, and they're all great hitters.
Allegedly,
and
allegedly.
Well, no, listen. If you're if you're in the big leagues, you're pretty good. I mean, I don't care if you're the.
I'm not going to argue with that. You're better. Yeah. Than pretty good to get there.
Even if you're a bench guy and you're a platoon guy, you're still really good. And those guys, they're obviously superstars. Bregman, Altuve, Correa, they're all really good players. You know, did it help that, you know, on certain pitches they knew it was coming? Absolutely, it helped. I mean, I'm a pitcher, and if the guy was like, hey, here's a fastball coming, it's a different advantage. And they're still going to be great players. They're still going to have Hall of Fame careers. But I'll say it definitely made a difference, and it makes me not – and trust me, the president of the Astros, he's not the president. He's a friend of mine, and it's tough. It makes me not love the Astros as much and what they were doing because of that. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's just say this, not that I'm fans of either Bregman or the non-MVP Altuve, those two are on the clock this year, and I'll be the one to say it because I don't have to live by that code. But I mean, we're gonna find out what those guys are all about this year. So, and like you said, I mean, they got there. So but are they the MVP or not? And both have been in that conversation. So
let me ask you a question, Kevin. This is just off topic. All right, Pittsburgh Pirates out of the equation. Okay, you love Pittsburgh, you love playing there. What is another team, if you had your choice at some point, where would you like to see yourself going sometime? Would you want to come back to the West Coast, or is there another team?
I'd probably say San Diego. You know, just born and raised in San Diego and growing up going to those games. I think probably anybody would like to play for their hometown team. So, you know, that would just be a pretty cool thing for sure.
I actually saw you play. I texted you right after the game too. It was the most bizarre. I was sitting up in one of the boxes with my kids, and I was telling them the story of you and how we met, and you're up to bat and your name's on the Jumbotron. And I'm thinking like, holy crap, how old am I? How did I get to this point where I got, you know, 2 9-year-old kids in the box, and I'm watching little Kevin that is basically the same age as my kids in the big leagues at Petco Park, which was one of those outer body experiences. Like, dude, what is going on? This is not real right now, but it's cool. But yeah, I mean, San Diego's a cool place. I played for the Padres 3 different times. You know, I live here. I've, you know, I'm kind of a transplant from Orange County, but I love San Diego just as much as you do. It'd be fun to see you here. I would like to see you here.
Hey, Kevin, just before we wrap up, man, and by the way, that was an open invitation to the Pittsburgh Pirates to put a long-term deal on the table as soon as possible. hey,
that's why I preface it, the Pirates are out of the equation. They're not even a team.
Yeah. Hey, before we wrap up here, what's the one thing you're missing the most right now about baseball?
I don't know if you guys still hear me all right? My headphones.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. The one thing I'm missing about baseball it's tough to say just one, honestly. One, I guess, maybe being in the locker rooms with all the guys. You know, you all work towards the same goal and strive for the same thing and to go out there and compete and win with each other. So kind of just missing, you know, that brotherhood right now. But also, like I said before, being able to gather a city or, you know, just play for a city is something that I'm sure we're all missing right now.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for joining the show. We'd love to have you back, you know, when the season's over and hear about how different it was from the normal season. And best of luck. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. And it's fun watching you keep grinding, man. We love grinders on this show.
Grinders, baby. That's what we do.
Yeah, grinders, man. Kevin, I appreciate you coming on, buddy. You know, I'm always rooting for you.
All right. Well, appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. It's the Dugout Dudes, also formerly the Dodger Dudes, with our guest Kevin Newman, shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.